Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
KeithandtheGirl.com/tickets, my annual stand-up show every day on my birthday, April 15th. I do it. I am writing it now. You have to show up. Those are the rules. Okay?
It's a taping. It's going to be your 14th.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's guest is a writer for Vulture.com, writer for True TV's show Friends of the People. Work's been featured on MTV's Hey Girl, Rolling Stone, and VH1, Hallie Kiefer.
Thanks for having me, guys.
How you doing, Hallie?
I'm good. I love that song.
Thank you. I wrote it.
Is that true?
Just a little ditty I put together, knowing you were coming.
Well, I mean, I thought it was about me, so that
it was about you. That's the thing with instrumentals, right? Mm-hmm. They can all be about you. Hallie, I think you're very funny.
Thank you.
I'll tell you that much.
I think you're very funny.
That's what I'm getting at.
Hey, bros, how are you?
Hey.
Before the show started, you guys were talking about places in the neighborhood, restaurants you like, this kind of thing. And Chemda was reminded of this Planet Thai restaurant that she loved. Kept being closed down by the health department. That didn't stop her at all.
No. Mm-mm. No, I went in between. I mean, it did. Well,
she liked it being closed down because it gave more space for her to get a table.
That's true. Yeah, no wait. Didn't have to put your name on a list.
I didn't give a shit. The only thing, I started caring because like, one time I rode my bike 10 miles to get there. You know, like, I'll ride my bike, I'll eat as much as I want, and then I'll ride home. Mm-hmm. By the time I got there, it's closed. I'm just like, damn. So I had to implement like a call ahead, you know, see if the roaches are out that day.
Right, yeah.
But I don't care. I didn't care if they threw the food at my head. I would still eat it. I would like catch as much as possible.
Because it was that good. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, it was the best. Still not one restaurant. And not one Thai restaurant has passed it.
And Hallie, you said if you found a roach in your food, it wouldn't even bother you.
Oh, I'm saying I have found a roach in my food and it didn't even bother me. It was, I'm trying to think the name, maybe I shouldn't even say it, but it's like a...
Yeah, you wouldn't want to disparage them.
It's on
I think if you know, while you're thinking about it, I think if you know the place, you know it's gross. Like, I wasn't the only mm-hmm. one who kept being like, oh, it's closed today for like shittiness.
If there's a literal roach, I mean, as opposed to what, you know, the end of weed. If there's a literal roach in my food, that's the line.
That's the end of the restaurant?
That's the end of the meal.
The meal, yeah. I'll give you the meal. The end of the restaurant, questionable.
The name of the restaurant is Esperanza. It's still open. And I believe it's on Avenue C and 9th. It also could be Avenue. Yeah, it's Avenue C and 9th.
What are their hours?
They're open all night, baby. No. And I did find part of a roach in my food.
Part of it. Part. That means it gets chopped in.
Yep. And also, I had eaten almost all of my food at that point. So who knows? And they came over. You know, I said, I'm like, and even then, it's like, why am I being embarrassed for them? But I'm like, there's a roach in my food. Like, it's a secret. I was like, and they take it away. And she goes back and she says, you know, it was corn silk.
Oh, shut up.
And I'm like, one, there's no corn in my food. And then also, I'm from the Midwest. I've seen corn silk. That was a roach. Like, you don't just copy my food. We don't have to, like, do this game. It was not corn silk. Anywho, I have been back, and I would go back again because I don't care.
They don't care as much. They looked at it and said no.
It's happened so much, they were ready with an answer.
Mm. Oh, they have, like a list of answers. Like, we can't use the same one over and over again. We have to, like, mix it up.
Roaches, corn silk, mice, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And you know what? I would go there based on your recommendation.
The food's great.
You're committed to the bit.
The food is excellent. It's brunch. It's like an unlimited drink thing. It's great.
No, roaches are too much. I had a fly in my wine. So then I drink 3/4 and I go, oh my goodness, this is...
That's very smart.
But the roach is no way.
So what's the difference between a fly and a roach?
Size.
If you see one in your house, what wigs you out more?
That's true.
Which one do you want to set the place on fire?
Fair. Yeah. Yeah. Although I had a fly infestation last year in my backyard and it happened like... it's good timing because I had a whole bunch of people over for July 4th. And July 5th, something must have happened where, like, some food must have been, like, stuck somewhere that we didn't get to. And we literally had hundreds of flies for the next few weeks. We wouldn't go outside. And so until we tried everything. Oh, we tried, like, old wives' tales. We tried, you know.
She would read old wives' tales
right,
to the flies.
So they get so bored, they die.
I mean.
You tried to reason with them.
Yeah. I swear to God. So then we ended up being cruel and we got one of those like, hey, come to this light and get zapped thing. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, a more giant flying thing would get stuck and would just take 10 seconds to die. And we would just pause everything we did and just look forward and just try not to understand that we're literally hearing a live thing dying for 10 seconds in a buzz, and then the smoke. So disgusting.
You almost made that seem cool, though. Right. Really? At first, I was grossed out. I'm like, all right, you've made me think that maybe that's cool.
Okay. The point is, I'm the coolest.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
If there was a Band-Aid in your food.
Yeah. That I don't know. Anything human, a fingernail, a Band-Aid. I think that, because look, the roaches, we live in New York. What can you do? But wherever you are, there are humans touching your food. Maybe the Band-Aid seems more like I could get something from it. I don't know.
Right. I mean, you know what? I think I'm on the same wavelength here.
So in your Thai food, if you had found a Band-Aid, that would have been the end of things.
That would have been a consideration to stop. I don't know how to
give you a lot to think about on those 10 miles home.
Yes.
And you were talking before the show with Andrea, and you were saying that you have a dating bar, a mm-hmm. bar that you take dates to. It's a block away from your house. You like the convenience of that, whether the date went good or bad. But I would be nervous. I'm seeing other previous dates that I obviously don't want to be around. Mm.
That's a distinct possibility.
But
that's
it's
a
worth
very
it.
Good point. No, I simply hadn't thought about that before. I literally had not considered that part. I will say the men I have taken, none of them are from this area of Queens, and most of them were from Brooklyn.
So I think
I'm not running too much of a risk.
Because you're not picking them up there.
Yes.
She's
importing them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's different.
I see what you're meaning.
Yeah, she's bringing them to her bar, not in their neighborhood.
Is it, but when we go on a date, I can tell everybody knows you, right?
Right, but then I just seem cool.
Right.
Oh, that's true. If everyone knew me and everyone was like, oh my God, she's here, then it would be a bad look. But as of right now, I feel like everyone feels positively about me. Maybe they don't. Maybe this is like a ruse I'm realizing is like a terrible plan.
I say to the bartender on my way out, thanks, I'll see you again. They're like, no, you won't.
Oh, no.
I can tell, yeah. You know, the bartender will be like, no, she'll be back here with somebody else. No, goodbye.
That is true. Like, eventually, how many people will they see me with before I start to feel weird? The answer is a million, because I don't give a shit. Their bartenders, like, the stuff that they see, as long as I'm not throwing up on the bar or dropping glasses, I think they're just like, whatever, I don't know, I can't get involved in this.
But when they see a guy
mm-hmm.
and you bring him back,
sure.
Do they give you a smile like, good for you?
It hasn't happened yet, so I'll let you know.
All right.
I was going to say, how does it work out? Like, does the bartender help you at this point? Is it so positive that it works in your favor?
I definitely like, the bartender knows me and likes me, so I do feel like he comes over and is like really super friendly, and like, that makes me seem not cool, but like normal, I guess. I don't know. It's like when you first meet someone, it's like, what are any indication that they're normal? It's like, oh, well, this guy knows her. It isn't like, get the hell out of here, you know?
It helps the vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. How well has your date gone?
The most recent date I went on there has gone the most well, in as much as what we're going out again. So I would say.
You are going out again.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, and I kind of want to just go back there, but that's very selfish. So I'll find some other place in the area.
What is the way to your heart? Food without roaches and Band-Aids?
I expect so little. I mean, if you heard this story, I mean, our conversation is like, I will eat a roach in food. So literally anything, if you're nice to me at all, I'm like, all right, this is really, I think this is it. So I would say, yeah, being not having like a roach in your soul or like your spirit.
What's the longest relationship?
A year.
Okay.
Yeah.
You weren't living together, right?
No. I mean, kind of default we were, in as much as like we were constantly, like he was always over my place, but no, we weren't living
together. So he was always over your place. Oh, because we established you don't like going anywhere.
I don't like going anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I work at Viacom, and like, basically you were forced to, there's meetings on different floors, and I'm like, I don't want to have to do this. Like, I would rather miss a meeting than be forced to walk up a flight of stairs. I just don't want to go anywhere.
Because it's on a different flight of stairs. So did you break up with this last boyfriend because he decided to go to his place for a minute?
I mean, it didn't help. I'll say that much. It really didn't help.
During your stand-up, by the way, is that tough that you don't want to go anywhere, but you want to pursue stand-up? Like, why can't they come to you? I'm hearing this thing.
Oh, my God. That's actually a great idea.
I'm hearing this thing. It's hot now. It's called apartment shows. And they do shows in people's apartments.
Yeah.
Just have it at your house.
I think that requires, like, a fairly big apartment, though. Like, I don't, I'm not that place in my life where I could invite a bunch of people over and not,
I heard about this show. It's a hit. Many different cities. And she's in a bathtub. And she's doing her play. Taking a bath. What if you did one where you're just sleeping?
I would love that.
Yeah.
Call it Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
Right. I think didn't Andy Warhol, like, wasn't it just like 24 hours of someone asleep?
Everything,
I'll just do that again.
Everything's being redone, right?
Right, exactly. That'll be my reboot.
Number one movie, King Kong.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked. People really, like, those, it got good reviews mm-hmm. when it looked terrible.
Right.
I couldn't believe that people thought it was okay.
What's the last movie you saw?
I saw Get Out.
Could somebody be hypnotized that easily?
I went in once to be hypnotized.
Okay.
And it was a weight loss hypnotism, but he provided a lot of different varieties of hypnotism.
Now, how did you come to this guy?
My mother suggested it. Someone at her work, I believe someone at her work or two different women had recommended this guy.
Is your mom overweight?
Well, you know what's so funny is, like, when she was younger, like, maybe, like, growing up, when I was growing up, yes, like, more heavy set. But then she and my father, it's not even, like, a midlife crisis thing. It's, like, just, like, I think when you get older and you're like, oh, I gotta, like, do this. They are now in the best shape of their lives. Like, they, like, eat so well and they work out.
I feel like they did it.
So, obviously, I should be able to do it. But, like, at the time, I think she was going through a lot of different, like, ways of trying to lose weight. So, I think hypnotism was one of them.
Like, going up a flight of steps at work?
I mean, I'm not there. Like, he would have to hypnotize me to do that. So, I went in and my brother was getting hypnotized at the same time because he's very afraid of flying. He's fine now because it turns out you could take medication for that. Right. My mom, I guess it kind of worked because she looks great. And this is like a couple years ago. I go in and then, so, you know, they hypnotize. The guy starts to do it.
First of all, sorry. Is it offensive, your mom saying? I have an idea, sweetheart.
No, because I thought it was unusual enough. If she was like, said to my face, like, you need to lose weight.
Right.
That would be more offensive than like a really roundabout thing that was weird enough that I think she knew I would like it.
Okay,
she played me. Like, she played me really well.
You like quirky things.
Right, yeah. And this was the quirkiest thing she could probably come up with. And also, like, oh, so someone at her work had stopped smoking, was like, this guy's great, and somebody was afraid of swimming and then, like, could swim, and, you know. So she had these testimonials that seemed really convincing. So he hypnotizes me, takes about an hour. I walk out.
She was an infomercial for this thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she's pitching me on it. And so my mom also got it done, and my brother got it done. They both walk out, and they're like, you know, what color door did he tell you to go through? And I realized, oh, I had fallen asleep. So I don't know any of this. But I felt weird. Not like weird, but I'm just like, yeah, I got hypnotized too. So I was like, oh, green. They're like, that's weird. He both told us a red door. And I had to like bullshit these details because I just didn't want to get into like, oh, I wasted our time and money falling asleep. I fell asleep. I don't know. I don't think I was hypnotized. I don't think that I was. But if I was.
Did you wake up hungry?
I mean, I always wake up hungry. Yes, I was definitely hungry for sure. I don't know. I think it might work, but not in my experience.
Shouldn't he wake her up then?
Yes.
Since it doesn't work in your sleep.
Right.
I wonder if he's like, well, she's asleep. She'll think I did it.
You know, she seems so tired.
He has a snack.
This poor woman.
Are you happier? Well, that's the first session.
Right. That's true. I only went once, so I'm assuming it's like therapy. Like, not one session is going to like cure you. So.
How much is it?
I honestly can't remember. Probably too much.
Like over 200?
I went in Ohio, so I think it was like 75.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's the thing. If you live outside of a city, everything's cheaper.
Did you grow up? You grew up in Ohio?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Northeast Ohio. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I heard some of your stand-up. You were trying to lose weight. This is some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
You were trying to lose weight. You didn't care about the size you were
mm-hmm.
until you saw Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you realized you were the same size as the victims. And that guy is like, I like big old fat women.
Right, yeah. So that was a little... And granted, it was made in 1990 and everyone was like, you know, less body positive at the time. But the whole movie... They're like, he's like, oh, was she a great big fat girl? And they're like, yeah, she was a big girl, sir. And they talk the entire movie about how, like, he gets these big fat girls and, like, starves them so he can make suits out of them, which you don't even need to do because it's not like he's taking one giant girl to make a suit out of. He's taking little pieces. You don't have to be fat. Like, it didn't make any sense in the movie.
And in the movie, if I remember this correctly, and I'm not a huge fan of this, but I usually stay quiet because everyone likes it so much. But, in the movie, they're like, why would he abduct this girl? She's fat. Right. Like, they're just like, he keeps abducting women with weight on them. You would think if you were snatching women, you would take this one. You know, it was so weird.
Literally.
I'm not convinced that, because I thought the same thing. I'm not convinced that every woman in America was like, that's my size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you're, because they keep calling like these, I wouldn't call them more than plump. women fat, like they're just like shocked by how fat. Right. Did she fit in your well? This is crazy. Right.
Yeah.
How much lotion did she need to put?
Yeah, in you the had basket? To lube her up and shove her down there.
Yeah, that's what the lotion was for.
It doesn't eat the basket.
I'm missing my dog. I think she ate it. Okay, go ahead.
Oh no, but like as if you weren't sure, you're just like, well, I'm not. I be a potential victim? In one scene, he cuts off her shirt and then turns over the tag.
Oh!
And it says size 14. Oh! And you see a shot of it like, girl, she's big. Okay. And I'm just like, what?
Dun, dun, dun.
And also, like, if you saw that now, everyone else in America, like, everyone in America is fat. So, like, the idea, it's like, now they wouldn't even discuss the fact they were fat. It's like, he's taking women.
Yeah.
Right.
They are all fat because that's just how people are now. So that was kind of a blow to my right. ego. Also, I love that. I do love that movie, though.
Oh, sorry, right. buddy.
Oh, no, no. Also, like, in that movie, it's like, he's gay. So it's almost like, oh, well, he's not taking hot women. He's not trying to fuck them. He's just trying to chop them up and make them into suits.
What else would you do with these fat, disgusting women?
I mean, exactly.
Only a gay guy would. Oh, we know he's gay because they're all gross.
Yeah, they're gross. And also, he's making a fabulous suit out of them.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And tucking his genitalia in. You know how gay people do.
Like they do in their murder basements. Yeah. It's a very problematic film now that you see it today. But
you know, Chianti just soared in sales.
I tried it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
I was joking.
It's good.
I made that up. I must have, though, right?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
I don't know what a fava bean is, but the Chianti's good.
I can't either. In my mind, it's a white bean. I don't know if that's true.
I think I had it. I think Persians are big on it, so I had it growing up a lot. Yeah.
You said that one of the grossest things you've ever done.
Oh, no. I literally don't even know. This could be anything.
Let's guess. Let's have her guess first.
No. Yeah.
What do you think the grossest thing?
I honestly already talked about
the roach in
the
your food
thing.
You asked a guy to come on the front of your dress that you could wear it home.
Yeah.
I think that is dirty sexy.
Now, thank you.
Was the guy's name William Clinton?
Now that you mention it, no, because I would have been like far too young when that was going on. It is hot, but it's also like, it's hot in that, one of those things where it's like, it's hot in the moment, and then as soon as you leave, you're like, oh boy, I gotta get in a cab. I can't be walking out here. Ooh, you know? Like a lot of sex things where like, you walk out afterwards, you're like, oh, I gotta really unpack all that.
So are you having sex and he's about to finish and you asked to do it on the dress, or is that a separate session?
No, that was like part of it. It was one of those like in the moment. It
quick,
like
the dress.
No, I was wearing it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't a separate dress.
I didn't know.
That's even freakier. Like for later. Like, I'm going to wear that tomorrow, so come on it tonight. And No, in the moment, I don't know. Yeah.
Were you just like, it would be rude to say the wastebasket, so my dress?
No, I wanted to like wear it home.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It was.
Yeah.
But definitely, maybe not the grossest, but definitely the most depraved thing I've ever done.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Go you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thanks. Again, I ruined that dress and I had to get rid of it.
Worth it or not worth it?
Boy, I think worth it. It wasn't that expensive.
No,
it
wasn't
like a nice dress.
I mean the dick.
Oh,
the dick worth it?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think if you're going to say, come on my dress, the dick is doing a good job.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't like, come on, speed it up.
You wanted a memory for a reason.
I was like, yeah, all right, what do we got? I was like trying to, you know. It was like a jazz situation.
Do you go now to the Salvation Army and get a bunch of dresses for cheap?
You gotta just have them in the closets, put them on when you get home, and then if things happen, then you don't really want any of your, like, you know.
You're like, I hope you don't mind
stuff.
That I just put on my favorite dress. Hey, I have an idea.
Right, yeah. But my favorite dress is like some old, like, nightgown that's like clearly, you know.
I asked if you were from Ohio because I can hear a little middle of the country from you, but also you speak so quickly. And I was raised here. No, I'm just surprised. I associate the middle with like maybe slower talking, but I think that's more the South. So I'm wrong. Is it an Ohio thing or is it just you?
I think it's just me. It might just even be my family. I feel like we're constantly arguing and like talking over each other.
Okay.
So probably as a child, maybe I would have spoken slower, but then like in order to be like, oh, you know, I sort of,
you wanted to get
unconsciously
in, you wanted to get heard.
Yeah
That's,
I wanted to be right.
She sounds a little like your mom has that accent, right?
Do you have how many siblings do you have?
I have two younger brothers.
Do they have weight issues?
One of my brothers was a little bit heavier, but he and his girlfriend, I feel bad talking about them, but they both look phenomenal. They both became like runners and they cook these amazing meals. Like they're so healthy and like sort of got that part of their life in order. I'm like the only one in my family who's still like, I gotta get a Diet Coke, and I just, you know, right. I don't want to climb a flight of stairs and that kind of thing.
Would they say to you, run with me? It's fun.
Yes, yeah.
You get high, they say.
Yeah, I've never had that happen. I have started working out more, and I have been enjoying it. It's just like, it's one of those things where like, I'll do it for a while, then like 3 weeks later, I'm like, why do I feel terrible? And it's like, oh, I just haven't been, I eat badly, I haven't slept, and like, I don't work out. Like, I don't consciously, you know, think about it.
Right. Now, I don't want to confuse the audience. You're not close to Whitney Thor, but do you ever see that show, My Big Fat Fabulous Life?
I haven't. I've seen trailers for it, and in the trailer, they make it seem like every day of her life is the most humiliating moment of anyone's life.
Right.
I saw a trailer where like she's like at a dance class, and like they literally just cut to her like sweating and stepping on this guy's shoe. So I don't think I have that emotionally.
I find her so fake. Instead of just beautiful, she knows the body she has. What's she going to be able to do at this point? Over 500 pounds. You know, live your life. But everything seems so fake and weird. And she goes into a restaurant, into a grocery store. And, you know, she goes to pick something up off a shelf and the pants rip. So she has to have her mom come behind her as they both walk backwards out the store. Like, hey, weirdo, just leave the store.
But that's funny. I'd watch that. Yeah, but clearly that's staged. Like, there was a producer who was like, all right, we got to fill some time.
So that's my, that's my conflict with this show is I am sure that it is very difficult to be that heavy in this world. I think you definitely get snide remarks. You definitely have, you know, these horrendous moments. And I think that's why a lot of people stay indoors who have weight. But obviously that's staged. So is she...
So I'm not going to feel bad about anything staged. I'm not going to feel bad when she's at a radio station.
But is it staged and she's still telling her story and she's staging it to tell her story? Like if you go to see a solo performance, right? People are staging what happened in their life. So it's not 100% accurate because it is from their point of view. So it's
because your pants ripped sometime, you can reenact your pants ripping and walking backwards out of a store.
If somebody did it at a show, I would die laughing. Like if somebody was on stage, like I'm now going to reenact this moment and my mom's going to come out and my pants are going to rip open. That would be great. There's a show that I think it had a couple seasons that was on HGTV called Ruby. And that was also about a 500 or 600 pound woman. And that was a much better version because it wasn't fake.
Right.
It was like her gay friend and her nephew who moved in with her, who was also gay, in like the deep South, and her just like dealing, like going to a therapist and like talking to her ex-boyfriend. And it was clearly very real.
Right. It's TLC.
And
that's supposed to be the Learning Channel. And there's this entire thing is fake. And you get it when you have Karen Feehan is at a radio station that she happens to be an intern at. And she's like, Karen, why are you picking on me about my weight? It's like, oh, I just flew here from New York to pick on you. This whole everything's fake and you know it.
See, I actually do know it. I think it's very disingenuous. And I think because of that, it doesn't do the thing that it says it's doing.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make people see people with weight in a better light. It just makes that it turns her into a clown. And
yes.
So you start thinking like, well, what opportunity does she have? Would you take that opportunity? Because now her life is just going wah, wah, and then she collects money. Would I not take that? Maybe I would because I'm fat anyway. And people are doing this to me anyway. And now I have like, you know, a bunch of people who are on my side as well. I don't, you know what I mean?
Right.
But she needs to understand this Whitney that I'm not disgusted with her because of her weight. It's because she is a dopey fake clown.
And I think that's also like where reality TV is now. Like every reality show right now, unless like competition shows I think are like still seem normal enough. But every show is so overly produced and so scripted and so fake that like even if you're enjoying like a silly moment that seems real, you then get into like these plot lines. I don't know. Then you're sort of like disengaged from it. It's like, oh, this is just like a show with actors that aren't that great at acting. So,
yeah.
And then it's, you know, so I feel like that's like what reality TV is sort of now. I don't know what.
I agree.
You know,
I agree. And
the
that's
solution
a,
is. But
today I have to take a driving class in a mini car. Uh-oh.
Why?
Right. I hear there's a clip out now, I guess, of an upcoming episode she's going to be in. This person, Graham, sent it to me. Isn't this the same lady one of your guests had a funny fight with? This is Nathan, and I guess they've been dating for a while, but they're meeting up this time for a big revelation. Now, of course, so you have Nathan waiting there.
Mm.
Whitney's going to come around the corner. Somehow there's cameras on everybody, right?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Cold.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
They're meeting at a science center.
Man.
Good. I have a lot of anxiety because whatever he has to say, like, I don't think I'm ready to hear it. Thank you. He's married or he's a polygamist or like he's a eunuch or like what? What?
How many dates? You don't know if he's a eunuch. Boy. Very thin guy, by the way.
But that would be an episode to watch is Friday, right. Somebody announcing that they're a eunuch.
Oh my God, he is a eunuch.
What is it?
Oh, the sharks.
Yeah.
Aquarium.
And tuna. I think that's what, yellowfin tuna?
Is it?
I guess.
I don't know my fish.
All right, enough with the small talk. That filled up a great amount of time.
Well, there's probably something I should share with you. Very interesting information that I found out.
Did you go to a psychic or something?
No, no. I think we're distant relatives.
Okay, I heard distant. What's the problem?
I agree.
I'm going to stop you at distant.
You're saying that you and I are related.
We're related.
Right. Doing, doing.
What?
We are related. We're like second cousins or something. I was telling my mom about coming to, and she asked about the date. And I mentioned your name, and she knows Glenn, and her father's...
Well, my goal in this episode was to make incest more positive.
Brother, I forgot how it was the connection was, but she knew everybody's name, and she was telling me how we're tied together somehow in our family, and I was like, what?
It sounds like a lie.
What the?
So I'm on season 7 of this show.
What?
And now your whole family's just found out.
It doesn't sound like they've been dating for a while. Mean? This sounds like a second or third date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is really weird.
It is weird. I'm sorry. Good thing we didn't kiss, right?
Oh, see, my God.
So you didn't even kiss?
Yeah, it sounds like a second or third date. And he sounds like he's lying.
I've been on some weird dates before, but I've never dealt with this.
It's news to me. I'm not, I promise.
Are you telling me this because you just don't want to like see me again?
No, no.
That sounded like the truth.
Okay. Well,
see you, cuz.
All right, officially the most awkward date I've ever had, and I've had several. I feel like I entered into something that I would not have entered into had I had all the information, and I feel gross. All right, let's go.
At least it was fun,
It
right?
really was, while it lasted, it was great. Like, I need to go home now. I could not get out of here fast enough. Oh, yeah. It was very nice. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Nah.
What a day, what a
He's
day.
He's lying, don't you think?
The whole thing's fake. I can't even think if lying or not. The whole thing's fake.
Well, but I guess it is, like, if you accept that it's fake, is it still fun? If you accept, like, okay, they've been put in this scenario.
No, because they are not interesting enough for this.
Right,
not
exactly.
For this not interesting enough scenario to be fun. They're, like you said, it's bad actors, so he sounds like he's lying anyway, whether he's really lying because it's the truth or... Yeah. He's lying because he sincerely, it doesn't matter. It's not interesting enough. But the thing is, okay, let's say you went on one date with someone, which that's what it sounds like. You found out your cousins. You wouldn't be like, my mom, she knew all the names. Anyway, see you later. You would be like, oh my God, you're not, you'd sit there for a while and go, is your head going to explode? Like, do you know Johnny? Do you know Betsy? Do you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no, you'd get into it.
Yeah, you'd get into a little
you'd
second cousins.
Out, yeah, you'd figure out exactly how far apart.
Second cousins is easy.
And you wouldn't say, hey, isn't it funny? Our cousin has a fat show on TLC. That's a hit.
Like, that, yeah, but a lot of people aren't in touch with their second cousins just because, like, how far removed are you already from your nieces and nephews and stuff? Your cousins are going to be far, but. But yeah, it took your mom. I don't know. I don't know how popular the show is, but he's lying, don't you think?
I think so. I guess.
Look how long we're spending on this, though. What a bullshit show. Anyways, he's lying. Let's get down to it.
I think that there is. I could imagine a moment where I was dating someone and then I said to my mother his name and she revealed some terrible thing about him. Like, I could see that happening.
Sure.
But in this specific situation, I don't know. And also, you're already agreeing to go on a TV show, so I imagine you are Googling.
Right.
You know, you're doing some Googling and figuring out, you know, whether it's worth it to you to go on a reality show anyways to go on a date with somebody. you think maybe you'd be, oh, we have a lot of Facebook. All our relatives are all Facebook friends or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there'd be some detective work.
What would be funny if he goes reality show to reality show, goes on one date, says they're cousins.
Yeah, he's the cousin guy.
That's his thing. I would love that.
Yeah.
But he has like a different haircut or like he's like sort of in disguise, right, like in everyone, but it's that same guy.
That would be so fun. Like at the end of your life, you know, they show all this. Super cut of you being like the Where's Waldo of reality shows.
Right. You're like, sorry, Gene Simmons. Turns out I'm your second cousin.
The second cousin guy.
Oh, man.
Darlene Cates, who played the mom on What's Eating Gilbert Grape. She was 575 pounds at the time. That's 93. In 2012, she lost 240 pounds. She just passed away at 69. So in that movie, she was only 45.
69, nice.
Yeah, right? She's like, I think now's good.
Wow, you know what? She did really well. She went down to like a decent size.
Losing 240 pounds, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I've never seen that movie.
So good.
It was like, I don't know how old DiCaprio was, but he got an Oscar and a Golden Globe nomination for that. But I've never seen it. It always looked good. I just don't.
It's, you know what? It's very slow. It's a very independent movie thing. So like not a lot happens. So you really have to like feel for the characters, and it's just character driven, so you have to like it for that.
But I hate characters, and I like this a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. He has the time, this Gilbert Grape.
What's eating him?
His mother.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. The drummer for Boston back in the early days during More Than a Feeling, for example, he's no longer with the band Boston, but he was playing drums in the Legends of Rock on a Caribbean cruise ship. Mm-hmm. He's playing on stage with the other has-beens.
Legends of Rock on a cruise ship. Mm-hmm. I'm into it.
If I'm on the cruise ship, I'm going to go see them.
Right?
I'm not going to like, ugh. I'm gonna be up front.
Well, I think you would go specifically.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's not a surprise.
I wouldn't go specifically.
Right. Oh, never mind.
But that's cool because, you know, they can't really confine themselves to their room so much. So, like, you're seeing these people walking around in their swimsuits. I'd want to see what swimsuits they wear.
Yeah.
Which is rude. I know.
So, he was drumming about, and he collapsed as he was drumming.
No.
CPR was performed. You're watching this show. CPR is being performed.
Wow.
And he ended up dying.
Oh, when was this?
So, he's dying on the cruise.
Was he 69?
67.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what?
Very close.
I'm into it. Know this. And isolate it as a clip, if you will.
And I will.
Thank you. Now she's responsible for this.
Mm-hmm.
If I die on stage, #blessed, I'm good to go.
There are way worse ways to go out.
Oh, yeah.
But isn't it funny? Everybody knows there's a dead body on that cruise.
Oh, that's right.
But everyone there is probably 67. So I think every cruise, there's probably a dead body on that cruise. Like somebody
there has to
gets
be a dead,
sunstroke or whatever.
There has to be a dead body room.
Yeah. Oh, there for sure is. I'm sure there must be.
Because you legally can't throw it overboard, right?
Unless you're L. Ron Hubbard, yeah.
I think the law's on the book. You can't throw a body over the side of a
get that checked.
Ship.
Depends on how much money you have.
That's true. And if you're in international waters, anything goes.
You can gamble. You can throw bodies. Yeah.
All right. Let me mention this, and then we'll get to more deaths. No worries. Harry's Razors. Harry's Razors. You're paying too much for razors. You know that. Come on. You go to the store. It's $6 million for a blade after you ask for permission as an adult to open up the theft-proof case.
Sad.
Have the blades come right to your house. $2 a blade. Compare that to what you're paying. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. 5 German-engineered blades. Lubricating strip. Flex hinge for a comfortable glide. A trimmer blade for those hard-to-reach places. Wink. Weighted ergonomic handle. I mean, it's just a nice shave. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their most popular trial set for free. And honestly, I give these away as gifts. I talk about my brother Mark who I visited, and he has it all. He has a good job. When he wants something, he just gets it.
And he gets it at the cheapest price possible. Yeah.
Well, Harry's isn't as popular as some of these other name brand razors, so he doesn't know about them. So I give him this box. Cost me nothing. Took no thought even. I just type it in, done. No thought, no money. And there you
hear
go.
That, Mark?
And he loved it. Idiot. The free trial set comes with a razor handle of your choice, 5-blade cartridge, and shaving gel. Free,
and a note that says, gotcha.
Right. Free when you sign up. Just pay a small fee for shipping. To redeem your free trial offer, go to Harry's, HARRYS.com/KATG right now. That's harrys.com/KATG. All right? All right. Chuck Barris, he ran the original Gong Show.
Oh, yeah.
Has died.
My first response to that was like, oh, my God, we should bring that back. And Keith goes, they did. And I'm like, oh. And he goes, no, no, I don't think that sunk in. They did. We talked about it.
Wait, they did? When did they bring
Yay,
it back?
Yay, I love you.
Yeah, I think it was Dave Attell. I think he hosted it.
Oh. No.
Couldn't tell you.
That's weird. That's where they went wrong. Look at Keith's face. He's like, I'm telling you. And you're just arguing with me about facts.
He was 87. He created the Gong Show, the dating game, and the newlywed game.
Ooh, money.
If you remember, he also claimed in a 1984 autobiography that he called, jokingly, an unauthorized autobiography, that he killed more than 30 people in the CIA. This was George Clooney's directorial debut, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. I haven't seen anything more boring in my life, especially when you're murdering people. The director of the CIA says, it sounds like he's been standing too close to the gong all those years. It's absurd.
That's a pretty sassy retort.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The dating game, he didn't host it. He just created it. But you remember the dating game, right?
Oh, yeah.
You would have your guy or your girl, and then hidden where only the audience could see. We could see, but let's say it was a woman.
They have a divider.
She couldn't see the three guys behind the divider. And she would say, like, let's say I'm an ice cream cone. How would you eat me? And the guy would say.
We should bring that back.
Yeah. And the guy would say, how would I eat you? I'd start at the bottom of the cone. So it all fell in my mouth. Oh, I like that. Number two, how would you eat me if I was an ice cream cone? Well, with me, you'd be a swirl cone. And we'd all be up all in each other's business. Oh, I like that. Number three, if I was an ice cream cone, how would you eat me? How would I eat you? Soft serve. And I'd put on my chest. I like that.
This is so accurate.
It really is.
Yeah, every once in a while, I'm like, I would have nothing for this question. Like all the time, actually, right. Nothing for this question. How would I eat you as an ice cream cone? I'd make sure none real run down my hands and lick it up really quick. Oh no, I'm sounding really dirty because this is a stupid ice cream fucking thing.
A follow up, bachelor number three. What kind of car would you drive on our date? I don't know what kind of car I drive, but I'd ride you all night long. Oh, I like that. And the whole audience is like, ooh, I've never heard anything that's an entendre. Bachelor number one, if I was a bird, what kind of bird would you like me to be? A hummingbird. Hum, if you know what I mean. Oh, I like that. Number two, my potential husband. If I was asphalt,
what?
Would you hire Mexicans to rake me after cars ran over me?
What?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't have them rake you because I like you all disheveled in a mess. I like that.
I feel like people watch to see the look of disappointment when they actually reveal what the people look like. And they're just like, wait, I didn't pick you. Yeah. I would have totally picked you. Never mind this guy's personality. And then that guy comes along and is like, oh, I fucked up. How did I not hear my lack of attractiveness to you?
Bachelors, if I could peek around the curtain and see what you look like, can I? I would like that. Farrah Fawcett was on it.
If you were in charge of everything, what would you make the national pastime?
Oh, I would make the national pastime just love, because I think that's a great pastime.
Oh, it really is. Whole place goes nuts. That was fantastic.
But wait, Keith, he says, first he answers, and then like he follows up because he thinks that's very good.
Mm-hmm.
See, I would pick love because love is good. So really, you have to think of like how he got to that answer, and that's the deep part.
That would be a good national pastime. Baseball bores me. I like that. This is Steve Martin.
Complete this sentence. This may sound a little weird, but...
I am naked right now.
Amazing.
They love it. The great Steve Martin. A lot of celebrities. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay, lady number three, I've only been in this country 5 years, and there are some expressions I still don't understand. What does it mean, hanky-panky?
Well, let's see if you understand this. Playing around.
Playing around with what?
He was a pervert back then.
Oh, big time.
This is, I mean, isn't this the same as what happens now? Because they hire a bunch of actors so that they can actually come up with stupid answers for these stupid questions.
Right.
good looking people aren't smart or funny. So I think that's, you can't have four people and be like, they're going to come up with really funny or interesting things. Like, no, that's not why they're there. They're there because they're hot and we want to imagine them fucking. That's it. We have to suffer through all these answers.
You really clear shit up. Thank you.
People were very horny back in the 70s.
Phil Hartman was on it.
Okay, bachelor number three. What road signs should I heed while dating you and why?
Slippery when wet.
Amazing.
Right.
No. They got the wrong idea. I like to swim and sometimes I...
Are you real athletic?
Very athletic.
So you're real versatile.
Yes, and built something like a Greek god.
Are you very athletic? You know what? Forget it, moron. There's a joke about your pussy dripping.
Well, then he went into that he's a swimmer.
Right. But
so, yes, all this is a great conversation to have on a date. Oh, so you're a swimmer. No, I was just joking. But now that we're talking about it, oh, that's so whimsical. I was definitely on board with that. Oh, that's great. Let's order a coffee. Dessert.
Can you imagine these are first date questions? You date? Are these ever real questions?
Those are pretty much one-to-one what I ask.
If you were a road sign,
what should I avoid? Like, that's like a double negative. Like, it's like where it's like logically you can't even answer that question. Right. You're just like, what are we talking about?
How are your choices? Yield, merge, or dead end?
It's a surprise that anybody finds love, really. I mean, that's what we are like. Let's make a game and force these people to try to.
If somebody said stop sign, would they be like, sir, you know that you're talking about rape now?
I'd say, a U-turn, because you'd come back for more. Mm. Yes, so I like that. Yes.
That is a good one. Yes. And you know why that's a good one? Because these are so bad that that's a good one.
Right. A bumpy road ahead,
ew,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah, get a doctor. What?
Oh, boy.
Fines are doubled in this area. I like that.
I want to be clear, if they do reboot the show, I would write for it and happily take that money.
We wouldn't judge you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer is in an interview in Interview Magazine.
Makes sense.
And she reveals that during the filming of her breakout role in 1983 Scarface, that she felt terrified by Al Pacino and the cast of mostly male actors. But not for why you think. She explains that the nature of the relationship with Tony Montana, Pacino, he was very dismissive to her in the relationship, right? His wife. That would make her in real life go home crying herself to sleep every night. That her fake husband was a coke addict and a drug dealer.
That's very method.
Actors, man. I mean, some people take that home even though you're like,
right.
No need to take that home with you.
It's like my fake husband does not love me. He just said my uterus is polluted. Is it? Should I see a doctor? That was a line, honey. They just had you him read it. He doesn't mean nothing. That wasn't a giant pile of cocaine on the table.
That might have been real coke, though.
But probably.
In my mind, it was.
Those were the days.
Most of the budget.
Here's a fun story. An Indiana father of four, whose wife had voted for President Trump, is now facing deportation to Mexico after immigration officials detained him in February. Roberto Beristain, 43, who lived with his wife Helen and their four American-born children, was going for his yearly U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement check-in when officials arrested him. Mm. His wife Helen had voted for Trump in November because she agreed with his immigration policy, moron, to drive undocumented immigrants with criminal backgrounds out of the country, but didn't think it was going to affect her husband. The daughter, Jasmine, 14, said that her father was arrested because of a previous deportation order that stemmed from 2000. She said the family was on vacation when her father took the wrong turn to Niagara Falls and then ended up past the Canadian border, which is easy to do. He tried to come back into the U.S., but officials denied him entry and placed a deportation order on him. Yikes. He ignored the order and remained in the country. He was very nervous, but he had to stay because my mother was pregnant with my sister, says the daughter. The family hopes Roberto can be released soon, saying that they miss him tremendously. He calls every day to tell us how much he loves us. He also asks how the business is doing. He became the owner of Eddie's Steak Shed in Granger recently, having previously worked in the restaurant as a cook before buying the business from his wife's family. Roberto is currently being held at a detention center in Wisconsin. He has a social security card, the daughter says. He's got his license. He has everything he needs to have to be here. As for Helen, the wife, she thought he, the president, could change America for the better. She didn't think it was going to be like this. it's too much. He was clear. Never mind these people who regret voting for Trump because
there's YouTube things about it. There's the whole Twitter about it. Like right. Everybody's like, wait a minute, Trump. I voted for Trump. I thought he was going to bring back this thing. Wait a minute. I voted for Trump. Now my life is hell because of this.
Right. Yeah. Never mind like the you're going to drain the swamp and you're having right. X on the president of go fuck yourself.
Yes, that is that's his official title.
You know, the president of up is down, the secretary of, and never mind those things that you were flat out lied to. What about the things that you were told would happen
right,
and then they
like
happened
the
and you just lost the father of your four children?
Yeah.
Moron.
Yeah, he said, build a wall. He said,
right.
Mexicans are rapists. He said, they're bringing the bad people in. And you're married to a person he's talking about.
That right. That the Mexicans are rapists thing, I remember that was like his first,
mm-hmm.
It was like in fall of 2015. That was like his first speech like on the campaign trail. Was that? Like, that's the first right. thing he came out with. And, like, what his, like, the focus of his campaign, I don't know.
Yeah, he stood behind it.
Yeah.
And the wife is like, he misspoke.
I don't know. It is interesting when you read people, like, I mean, right after he's elected, like, you know, sort of the reasons that people wanted to vote for him were all, like, the exact opposite of reality. They're like, he's honest. Right. And he tells it like it is. It's like, no, he's not. He's making things up and we want to believe them. Or it's like, you know, when he's wrong, he corrects himself. No, he doesn't. Why would you? Well, who told you to think that?
Or how about the biggest one, I think, is what people stand behind because they see him as Trump. Where in the 80s, we associated Trump right. with success, with mm-hmm. money. And so they're like, he's a businessman. Look at everything he put together. And it's like, well, how many people need to tell you that he's a businessman because his father keeps giving him business money to keep making business things? Like,
right.
he fails over and over again, and you still call him a leader in whatever genre you want to make your life better in. It's like yeah. you're really projecting this thing onto other people. And, you know, really, what really scares me is that it's so easy to do to humans, and then you mm-hmm. got to check yourself. Like, I'm so adamantly on this side, you know, of anti-Trump, that I have to check myself. Like, let me not just stay in this angry place, because right. then I start sounding like these other people without, you know, I start maybe projecting. But every time I think that way, I'm like, I checked. It's still crazy.
Yeah.
He still said that. I'm still on this side. I can't find the opposing view to feel comfortable with.
I don't think there is one. I think the only view that people, I think, with him right now could sort of cling to is the idea that the government should be run like a business and that he is a businessman. And I think other than that, anything else you sort of look at as like a good idea, or I just don't think there's any other way to conceptualize like him, this being a good idea, is to be like, yes, this is we are a business, which is not true. Like, that's just not a right. good way to conceptualize the government. But even then, you're right. Like, he's been bankrupt four times. Like, he's not a good businessman. And if that he's not that, then he has nothing, because he certainly doesn't have experience. I don't know. I don't know what the...
How does the wife make up to the husband that... I mean, never...
I don't know.
The good news is she'll never have to. He will absolutely be in Mexico. He will not come back. You know, supposedly you get deported from Mexico, then you stand in line and wait your turn. Well, he's never going to get a chance to be in this so-called line. That's the end. He will never be in America again.
They're holding him. They're just right now, they're just holding him.
Those yes. detention centers.
Yeah.
Like, they're just prisons that nobody, like, you're just waiting there with no, it's a prison with no sentence. And you really don't necessarily have any sort of resources, like, even you have in the judicial system. Like, if you were in actual prison, you'd have more. I mean, I guess it's like, once you're not documented, you sort of don't have rights. I don't know. The whole thing is like, that's what he's going to do. And now he's going to do it. And apparently now the wall is going to end up spending, like, the amount of money they're going to spend on it. It's just like, that's it. We're just putting our money into that in military and then getting rid of Meals on Wheels. And we're just going to like, I don't know. It's just a world where it's like, this is a bad world. Like, why would we want to live in this specific path that we're taking?
Right. By the way, the Vice President, Mike Pence, has said that he never eats alone with another woman, a woman that's not his wife, and that he won't attend events featuring alcohol without her by her side. That's a cuck snowflake.
I fucking hate this Harvey what's-his-face, you know, form of respect for women. What's Harvey with the mustache? Oh, my God, with the daytime talk show, please.
Oh, Steve Harvey.
Thank you.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, with the, you know, if you respected your wife, you wouldn't even look in the eyes of another woman.
Right.
Because you know why? Because all you see when you see a woman is, what does her vagina look like?
Right.
All you see is like this separation of you, this temptation to cheat on your wife. What?
Like, that to me means that Mike Pence is just so horny all the mm-hmm. time and just wants to yeah. fuck so much, which I do not believe. But like the implication is that he is like so on the verge of going nuts that if he has a drink at like a public place, he's just going to start grabbing women,
right.
which again, I don't believe is true. I don't know. But it is like a very religious, like that, like the idea of like how you live your life and treating women like.
Like delicate flowers, they call it.
Yeah, but at the same time, like treating them like danger zones. Like if you were to interact with them, like suddenly your whole life will derail. Like if you interact with the wrong woman at the wrong time, like you will ruin your life.
And you know what's funny is they don't take into account the other aspects that they actually are bringing up. So he says if he has a drink, he behaves a certain way, but he puts the blame on the woman that he's, you know, looking at or being around and puts the blame on his wife for not being around in whatever way he puts. And I'm not talking about he blames his wife, but he puts these scenarios. It's not that. But if you're saying that if you have a drink, you behave in a way that's not, quote, respectable, then that's what you shouldn't be doing. Not right. avoiding 50% of the popularity no matter where the fuck you go.
Right. I don't know, man. But then he's got all that the gay conversion therapy.
Right.
So it's like they're on another level where like they're not connected to.
I think he's gay.
I think he's 100% gay. But like, even if he's not, it's like, you're not connected 90%. To, like you, again, it's the same thing. It's like, you are projecting your view onto a society that does not conform to that and will never conform to it. So you have to convince yourself that there is some way to like, I don't know, force or manipulate people into not being gay. It's like, that is the same idea. It's like, what are you talking about? Like just personally within yourself, decide like this is not my business. You know, like that's you don't just because you're disgusted doesn't mean that you have to do something about it.
Libby's saying, don't worry, Mike Pence, nobody wants to fuck you. And that brings me to this. It's so funny. It's like wine and other women make him horny, so he doesn't know what will happen. Nothing. Because just because you're horny, it doesn't mean that this person wants to sleep with you. They're at some convention, they're on a panel, they're
right, where is he going? That yeah. like, a woman's, well, probably on those cruises or whatever. But it's like, yeah, like he's not, I don't know.
Yeah, I worked at a Jewish steakhouse and they would talk about that, not to brag. And they would talk about, you know, and the higher ups were Orthodox, ultra Orthodox, if you have to say that. And they would talk about how they can't go to a nightclub where a woman would be singing, this kind of thing. And then you would see from the Middle East, news articles would come out. Let's say Israel has whatever their version of the parliament is, and they did hire a woman or two, but they can't put them in the newspaper. They airbrush them out in a sloppy way, like they don't have our technology.
Like you just see their tits?
Yeah.
You can't see their face.
You see everything except their tits and the crotch, right?
Oh, my God.
But did they just take the woman out? Like, okay, now you can follow this news article without coming all over the place.
Okay, but to be fair, Israel is not that kind of country at all. They're not that religious at all. It's just...
Not at all.
No, they're really, really not. They fight for the separation, but they also, you know, because it's such a small country and that is the only place where Jews can, you know, claim blah, 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 blah. But in Israel, you're not going to have that all over the place. You're not going to have people taking away women. The army has women and men. They're equal. It's fine. It's just in certain neighborhoods, same as New York, here in Williamsburg, where all the Hasidic Jews are, there's a whole different law over there. You can't put billboards up there that have something that goes against whatever it is that their religion is. They will take it down. Mm-hmm. So it's like New York is a pretty liberal place. But if you hit Williamsburg, where all the Hasidic Jews are, it's different. And I think that that's how... That's a good comparison to Israel.
In Bnei Brak.
Bnei Brak.
But I guess the thing is in America is like now one of those people who has a more extremist Christian view of gay, like LGBT people, he's the vice president. Like he mm-hmm. thinks that if you go and get therapy, he can like fix what he sees as a huge problem. And now he's in power, which is not great, you know?
Right.
So well, it might be a minority of people who think that that's a good idea or even something to pursue. But unfortunately, one of those people is now in charge, part of the government, I suppose.
Well, there's an Israeli town and, they block out the all the women to the point where this new Smurfs movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
The only female in it is Smurfette. I believe the plot is there's a clue that there's another woman around somehow. How I'm not saying she gets around. It's her business, but I don't know how Smurfs keep being made. But anyway, they took her off the poster for sexual reasons. A Smurf.
This, and I bet in Israel, they're talking, the general population is talking about it like how we are. This is absurd. It's extreme. You know, this is the neighborhood that I've talked about on this show where if you drive there on the Sabbath, they will throw a rock at your car.
If you threw a rock at me, what kind of rock would you throw? pebbles? I like that.
A big, hard one. Yeah. Right through your fucking windshield.
Yeah, but I don't like that we, you know, look at other countries and go, look what they did over there. We do that right here. They're extremists right here, and we're not okay with it. And Williamsburg is the same as Bnei Brak.
Williamsburg. Leave Smurfette on your posters, Williamsburg.
She's not even that hot. You know what I mean? Like, it's like that's the problem that you have. She is... I think she's a child, first of all. Second of all, she's that big.
By the way,
bad shoes.
It's funny that we're like, how are they getting repopulated? We don't know that they repopulate just with guys.
They
do.
That's
I mean?
They do because
is that in the movie?
That's why they wear shorts to cover to their cover penises. They're Smurfs.
I see.
They call it their Smurfs.
They call everything their Smurfs.
Yeah, I know. They're sick.
Fucking sick fucks.
Yeah. Speaking of Canada, a Canadian man is upset because his parents had a personalized license plate that was handed down to him, and it's the family's last name. And now the DMV, their DMV, won't let him have it. His last name is Grabher, G-A-B-H-E-R.
It's so extra because it's grab her. It's not even like, you know?
Yeah.
And because of the president saying, grab her by the pussy, they believe it could be misunderstood by other drivers, and they won't let him have it.
Can I tell you, okay, I get that the fucking things are passed down from generation to generation. You want to ride a car that says grab her. I don't.
It doesn't. It says grab her.
I wouldn't want to. It could be my last name and I still don't want to.
What if your name's Aaron and you write, you're signing things A Grabher?
I think that it would be harder to have that last name. Like, even aside from the fact that you have a license plate, it's like, that's your last name. Yeah. You have to write on everything.
Yeah, it reminds me of Chris Gethard was in here, and he said somebody in high school wanted to write a quote from him in the yearbook, and it was a lovely quote. I don't remember what it is, and she wanted to sign it, Chris Gethard, and she wrote a note saying, hey, I know that as the principal or whoever, as the authority, you might say, I'm trying to get something past you because I could see that it says Get Hard as his last name. But please understand, here's, references. This person's name is real and this is a real quote. Because of that, they took his name off.
Aww.
Or like rejudged it or something. They I think they said only Chris or something like that. And it was like, you know what? You just taught her a lesson not to be upfront or like,
yeah.
it was such a shitty thing. And so now I feel, am I doing that here? But I don't know. Grab her.
I mean, that's a tough, I don't know. Yeah.
Gethard, when the T and H are next to each other, it's not Get Hard, you stupid fucking authority in a fucking school system. I guess Grabher is different.
Is this?
Can we establish that?
Is this because like, this is like his, like in his mind, is this like the last memento of his parents? Because that's crazy. Like, they did, like, this is the thing where you're like, I need to carry on their legacy.
Yeah.
But you're also
pervo.
But you're also being told. I mean, didn't we just say the other day we saw some video where people with otherwise odd names are saying, you're not taking the time to respect my name. You're making up a name. You're dismissing me as a person. So you're telling him your name is so offensive.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what to say.
I guess I'd say that he should be able to have it. I guess right.
Of course he should be able to.
It's just gross.
Do you want to?
Apparently he does.
I just think it's just funny because people have these attachments to these things sometimes. But then again, I just said the same attachment. Like, why can't they just credit where credit is due? I don't know. Because it's not a quote and then your stupid last name.
A Swiss court will not let a couple named their newborn the letter J. The parents wanted to honor the baby's grandparents, Joanna and Joseph, but the court said the name, just J, would be too confusing. That's only more simpler.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, wasn't there Ulysses S. Grant? Isn't it just S? It doesn't actually stand for anything?
Right.
This is fine.
I just think, where is it going to confuse? You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
yeah.
Where? In my letter, in my emails? Where is it going to confuse people? We know someone named literally, their name is A. Yes, it's confusing because in conversation, it's like, A went to blah, blah, blah. And I mean A as her name, blah, blah, blah. But J is a name. people right, will assume it's J-A-Y. Mm-hmm. And when they don't spell it J-A-Y, people will literally move on with their lives because there is nothing that you'll put it on that. And also, like, who is being affected by this?
Right. Yeah. You're presuming a cadre of bizarre scenarios in which people will not be able to understand it, where it's like, that's probably not going to happen.
Just name a scenario.
I think unless you're naming your kid Hitler, which I know people have tried to do in the past, or anything like that, fine. Just like, don't stop. Like, who cares? What, people get confused? That's fine. People could be confused.
Let me tell you, if I name my kid Hitler, you're not confused.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Zero confusion. Well, that's probably a different reason for that one that they don't.
Still no confusion.
Right, yeah.
What if the kid's in elementary school, right? It's like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. What? Like, they can't get through the fucking alphabet.
I know there are kids named Sensimilia, which means marijuana. I'm not confused about this family. I want to hang out with them. I want to babysit their kid.
All right, now, Hallie. Mm-hmm. If you want to find out more about you, you would go to HallieKiefer.com. Your name, that's easy to remember.
It's my full name.
HalleKiefer.com. The Twitter account, same thing. Hallie Kiefer.
Hallie like Barry, even though she hasn't been anything recently.
It's yours now.
And then Kiefer like Sutherland.
Oh, this is so confusing. Change your name.
That's how I help people remember.
I know, but it sounds like you're Miss Hollywood over here.
You know what's funny is that same judge doesn't find it confusing that Michael is literally 10,000 people's names.
Right, exactly.
But, and John is also the name of a bathroom.
Right. It's the thing, it's like it calls into mind, like, what are they confused by?
Yeah.
Like, clearly you find this confusing.
Yeah.
John, I don't want people to pee in your kid's mouth.
How about the names like Dick?
Right.
You look more like a vagina to me.
Could you name your kid Vagina?
No, but I wouldn't name him Richard either.
No, not at all.
No, you're right. Sorry, Richard.
Sorry, I can't Richard. Name you that, Richard.
But the thing is I don't think Chemda could name her son Richard. I just don't feel like it. You know, I just, I don't see that in my future.
Yeah. Little picture, Ricky.
Picture, Chemda's going to have goofy names for her kids.
When I was younger, I was thinking Sage. But then all of a sudden, everyone started naming their kid Sage.
Oh.
And then also, I was like, ugh, that's like naming your kid Bella. It's like, yeah, they're going to be dumb.
Yeah.
Not Bella. You guys are just going to be, you know your fate.
Yeah. I'm going with Pomegranate.
Cute.
I like that. If our kids had dumb names, what would they be?
Honestly, I'm not having kids because I don't want to name someone.
Mm-hmm.
It is so terrifying.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going to be good?
Nothing. As soon as you do it, like my friends, I'm not going to say their kid's name, but they named their
kid
a very normal name. And then 3 months later, they're like, we hate it. Everybody, like we took them to preschool or whatever, or like daycare. Every boy has that exact name.
Oh, wow.
But they didn't know.
Right.
And I'm like, how does this happen?
Yeah, my cousin.
A Jay would stand out.
On my mom's side, two of her brothers had the first grandkids, like the very first grandkids, but they weren't talking at the time. So they happened to name the kid the same fucking name.
That's so funny.
Good job, everybody. That's how close we are in my family.
Wow.
I would name our kids after candy bars. Because if they're your kids, they're so super sweet. I like that.
Wasn't there a serial killer on the dating game?
If I was a serial killer, how would you arrest me? I'd arrest you by putting your hands and locking them up. I like that.
I like that. I like that.
They're always thinking.
Mm.
Processing. Yes, I like that. If I was a steak, how would you eat me? Raw. I wouldn't even have time to cook you.
I'd crack an egg on your head and go for it. Would you go on the dating game?
Honest to God, I'd preheat you first.
I'd throw you in the microwave. What do I know?
Put you in a cast iron skillet. Broil you. Take it out. Cook it on the stovetop.
I'd age you because I'm that deep.
Right.
I'd wait till you were 42 days old.
If you were a talk show, how would you end it? I think I'd just fuck you.
Real abrupt.
I like that. I'd probably ghost it. I like that. All right, you have a show. It's called What's Your Damage? It's at the Grand Bar and Grill in Williamsburg, but don't go there. They're going to throw rocks at you, and you can't be a woman.
Oh, no, we're in the We're not down near the Hasidic people. But if you're Hasidic, please come. Thursday, you can come.
Are you allowed?
Yeah, try not to jack off to her when she's performing.
I know, that is true. Both hosts are women. If you don't look at us, you can just listen. Oh, a lot of the story. This is all falling apart in my mind.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Come if you want.
You're like, sir, you can look up. I can't. I'm Jewish. I'm very, very Jewish.
I mean, everyone on the show is Jewish, so
I'm more Jewish.
Oh, right, yeah. The more, I like this, like, quantity.
Yeah. Talk uglier.
Hey, guys.
That's better.
If you ever want a Hasidic Jew to leave your show, you just start singing. You can't hear me. This is making you very sex.
I'm out of here.
Oh, yes, you want to have sex with me.
The show What's Your Damage at the Grand Bar and Grill in Williamsburg every fourth Thursday at 8 p.m. I like that.
I like that. Keithandthegrill.com.